Hallelujah. Aren't you glad today that He is alive? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful today that it just didn't happen a little over 2,000 years ago or something about that, but He's alive today. Hallelujah. I was back whenever, a number of years ago, it was very popular to have sunrise services. And of course, people have got away from that quite a bit today. They still have a few of them around. But I was talking to the Lord one day. We was pastoring a small church, and the people said, well, we just won't have enough people to come out and have a sunrise service. So I sort of talked to the Lord about it. I said, now, Lord, you know, I want to have a sunrise service. I want to be there. And the Lord spoke into my spirit and said, I live every day. Not just on Easter Sunday morning that we celebrate. And every year, you know, it's a different time according to the moon. They set this time. But He's alive today. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful that He is alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me remind you, Wednesday night, I'm sure they made an announcement. It's in the bulletin. You'll see it on the marquee. That we're having a Bible study on Wednesday night, studying about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And if there's any ingredient in the Pentecost of faith today that I feel like it's lacking in our churches, it's the knowledge of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He is not as active in our churches today, and we don't really pursue the move of God the way that I feel like we should. Now, I'm not talking about physical exercise. I'm talking about letting God speak into our hearts that we leave this building and we go out and become witnesses. That's what He promised us. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and then into the uttermost parts of the world. That's the commission that we have. So Wednesday night, Brother Glenn is teaching this and doing a superb job. Hallelujah. We just read it. I tell you, appreciate it so much. And so be here Wednesday night. We need this study in the Holy Spirit. I believe that's the reason so many, and I may get myself in trouble this morning, but I generally do. But I believe that's the reason so many people become comfortable sitting in a nominal church today is because they feel just as good there as they do in a Pentecostal service, because the Spirit of God is not prevailing in our church today like it should. Now, I'm Pentecost from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I believe it. I was born in the fire, and smoke chokes me to death. I'm going to be somewhere or another where they will preach Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. And I'd rather they would say First Assembly of God is a church where you can feel the presence of God than any time that you would recognize this being a beautiful building, of which it is. Thank God for all this beautiful decoration. We've had so much work done around. Labors have been given and work been provided here for this church. We thank God for everything that's been done, for it being completely remodeled. Oh, I could go on and on about things, but I want it to be a church where people will come in off of that street and feel convicting in their hearts, and they'll come to these altars and give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, that's sermon number one. I want to go to the book of Acts this morning. We've had it on the marquee. They put it on the marquee sometime in the middle of the week. Acts, the first chapter, verses 1-3. They put most of verse number 3 in for our text. But I want to read this morning to you about the resurrection. Hallelujah. I wish I had time to go back and just take the four Gospels and then what Paul had to say about the resurrection and read and hear all these writings, but I don't have the time, and so it's going to slip by before I know what's happening. So read with me if you will. Verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He shew Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Oh, after his passion, after his desire, after his strong feelings, he began to talk to them and tell them about the infallible truth of his resurrection. Now, the reason that he put here, I looked up that word infallible, it means that there can be no question about it. That's the reason he remained on the earth 40 days before going back to heaven, was to assure the disciples and those that would believe and those that would see and hear of him that he was alive. If he had stayed in the grave, he would have been no more than any of the other gods that's worshipped today, any more the great men that they worship today. He'd been no more. But I want to tell you, on that Sunday morning, that stone rolled away and Jesus came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he's alive today. And he proved it with infallible proof. Father, thank you this morning. Continue, Lord, your blessing upon this service. And may we leave this place today challenged by the word and the authority of God. And may your glory, Lord, reveal himself in our eyes and our ears today, that we can know for an assurance that you are alive. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. He showed himself after his passion by many infallible proofs. Oh, whenever I was reading this some weeks ago, I began to prepare, and the Lord just began to make this alive in my heart. And I began to think about the things that Jesus did after his resurrection. John said, "For I guess that if everything that should have been written had been written by him, the world itself could not contain the volumes of books or the books that was written about him." So he was alive, my friend, and John recognized that this Jesus Christ that went to the cross, put in a barred tomb, they rolled a stone against the tomb door, and there he was sealed up inside. I want to talk to you this morning about a number of things. When I begin to prepare this message, I would go into my study and I would begin to jot down little things that the Lord would drive in my heart, and I was reading. And some of the infallible proofs I'm going to cover with you, and then I'm going to go back to my message. The seal that they put on it was broken. The stone was rolled away. The angels declared him alive. The disciples saw the nails and the spear print in his side. He appeared in the room with the disciples without opening the door. He opened their understanding. He ate with them. He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Oh, hallelujah. I can just sense in my spirit today, I can sort of sense the breath of Jesus Christ as he breathed upon those disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." You see, they had not received the Holy Ghost of now because he'd not yet gone back to the Father, because he said, "I'll go back to the Father and I will pray the Father and he shall send you another comforter. He shall be in you." Hallelujah. And he breathed on those disciples, those 11 men, as they sat there. He breathed the breath on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." I believe, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself this morning, but I believe the Holy Spirit today, Jesus Christ, is letting the wind of the fire of God blow upon Pentecost one more time, and we're going to see people begin to move under the authority of the power of God with the divine unction of the Holy Ghost one more time. He promises, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And I believe we're going to see it happen again here at First Assembly of God. Amen. Come on, somebody back me up. He commissioned him to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He ascended back to glory. He sent the Holy Ghost. He is set down on the right hand of God, ever making intercession for you and me. He has become our high priest. And I jotted down at the close of that, the tomb is still open. Hallelujah. That place where they buried him is still open. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to go this morning again to the book of Matthew. I thought we'd go to Luke, but I'm not going to go there, Sister Cynthia. I don't have the time. But I want to go to the book of Luke and read again where Luke was writing in the book of Luke. But I want to go to the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter. Turn with me, if you will, real quick. I'm going to have to rush through if we're going to get this Easter message halfway preached this morning. But in Matthew, the 27th chapter, read with me verse 62 through 66. While you're turning there, let me say that he showed himself with infallible proof to those that were doubting that he was alive or that he would come alive. Against all odds. I'd never thought of that till the Holy Spirit dropped that in my heart. Against every odd in this world that they could do against him. Read with me verse number 62 through 66. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. Now, I like that. I like what Luke put there. Just make it as sure as you can. Who's going to stand against God? Who in the world would try to stand against God? I heard of an infidel one time that cursed God because things wasn't in the weather like he thought it was. And he said, if you were a God, come down and fight with me. And said, about that time, a little old bee hit him right between the eyes here, and he dropped over dead. Now, I don't know how true that was, but it sounds reasonable with me. I want to tell you, God is bigger than anything you can imagine today. My God can control this whole world. Read now number 66. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I looked up the watch that they had set there, that Pilate gave them authority to go, and they took four soldiers, and they set them to watch a tomb where a man had died and was buried. I'm sure those soldiers must have said, this is so foolish. Look at the money we make in sitting here watching a tomb. Every 3 hours, it said, they change guards where nobody would fall asleep. But I want to tell you this morning, just before sunbreak that Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, an angel came down from heaven. You talking about a sonic boom? The Bible says it was an earthquake and the stone was rolled back. But my friend, Jesus Christ came out of that, regardless of the soldiers there, regardless of the seal that it placed upon that tomb, with infallible proof, he came out of there against every stone, against every seal that the governor had given permission to put there, out of every soldier that guarded that tomb. Jesus walked out victorious that morning over death, hell, and the grave. He's alive today. He's alive today. He's not in that tomb anymore, but he came out victorious over it all, and he's alive right now. Hallelujah. He lives within my life. They put the seal on that, and we're told that they took a stone and they took the governor's seal and they pushed it over here, and the cord went across that stone and it was put over here, and the seal was put there. And if it had been moved, it would have the evidence that it was moved. And to break that seal was a penalty possible with death. Whenever it happened, the soldiers run back into town and begin to tell the high priest and those others what had happened. Said there came a great earthquake, and some people in white apparel come down, and the stone just rolled back. and said, we saw that all happen. They gave them money. This is the thing that puzzles me, how some people today can know what God has done and know what God will do and still able to make excuses to get their way about things. But I want to tell you, you can have all excuses you want to. Jesus Christ didn't wait on the guards. He didn't wait on the seals. He come out of that ground by the power and the glory of God. As he said he was going to come, he came back, my friend, and walked with his disciples for some 40 days. The angel rolled back the stone that man said can't go back because we put a seal on it. I want you to know, man don't control God. They try to today, but man don't have the power to control God. The priests, because things didn't happen the way they wanted it to, they couldn't keep him in the ground. They paid money to these soldiers to say that his disciples come and stole him away. And they had to go before the governor and sort of justify that, or these men's lives would have been on the line. They said, we'll protect you. But it doesn't matter what the high priest says of that day or what the soldier said and what the seal in the cord that was across it done. Jesus proved once and for all, without infallible proof, that he was alive. That he was alive. They couldn't question it. They could not question it. And I'm told today, I've never gone to Israel. I never have really had the time or would take the time to go. But I'm told if you go over there and you walk up to that garden tomb, that an Arab will possibly be your guide that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But when he walks up to that tomb, he'll say, this is the place where they buried Jesus. This is the place where they put the Christ. The stone is rolled back and the tomb is empty by infallible proof. The world today, our time calendars are stationed on the day that Jesus rose from the grave. The other time was said B.C. before Christ. And our time calendar today says A.D. after death. Hallelujah. The whole world has to recognize today without infallible proof that Jesus Christ lived. He died, but he rose again the third day. Hallelujah. He gave the infallible proof by the empty tomb still being there today. In St. John, I got a little ahead of myself, but that's all right. I'm liable to say Christmas and Easter. You can't ever tell. St. John, the 20th chapter, verse 3. Let me read through 8. Notice something here. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple that came to the sepulcher, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. Jesus said, I'm going to come out of that ground, boys. I'm going to rise again in 3 days. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But he said, I'm coming out. John indicates here that when he walked inside of that tomb, that old carved out part of the mountain, and the stone had been rolled back, when he walked inside, he believed that Jesus was alive because the tomb was empty. And it's been empty now all of these 100 years. It's still empty today because God let it be for infallible proof to the world today I was watching television the other day, went in for some little bit, and I turned on television, and I flipped over very seldom watch CNN, but I did that day for some reason, and I noticed that they were putting a special on. And it said thousands of people will visit the tomb where Jesus was buried almost 2,000 years ago. Isn't it amazing how God's still giving the infallible proof that he's not there, but he's there. Hallelujah. He's no longer in that grave, but he's in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. He showed himself for 40 days to his disciples to prove to them, to let them know without a doubt. He didn't want it. He doesn't want you and I today to be confused. That's the reason he has it in this book here today that I'm holding in my hand, that we would not be concerned, because he's alive, and he's alive now and forevermore. I know I keep repeating that, but I don't want you to think that he just rose out of the grave and that was it. No, he's alive today. He's alive. He appeared to the disciples to prove that he was alive in a room without opening the doors. Oh, I tell you what, that sends cold chills up and down me when I think of my Savior that cared so much for me that he walked up Golgotha's hill, hung on an old rugged cross. Someone said, well, he was just sedated. No. He wouldn't take the vinegar when they offered it to him if it had been a sedation. He refused it. He died. Well, he just was unconscious. No. You don't get unconscious when you've had a crown of thorns placed on your head and the blood and the poison from those thorns going all over your body. You don't just get unconscious when they drive spikes in your hand and you hang on an old rugged cross for 6 hours. You don't just get unconscious when a soldier walks up and says, this one's already dead. And one says, I will just prove that he's dead. We won't break his legs, you see, because the scripture said that not one bone shall be broken. And so that soldier said, I tell you what I'll do. We'll make sure that he's dead. And he pushed that spear up between his ribs, into his heart, into the cavern of his body. And the Bible says, out forth came blood and water. There was a fountain that was opened at Calvary that day, and those that fountain still flows today upon my life. I'm cleansed today by the blood of Jesus Christ. He was dead, he was buried, but he is alive today without infallible proof. Hallelujah. I won't take the time to read. Let me go to the next point here. Jesus did so many things, was infallible proof to the disciples and to the others. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that 500 saw him. I kind of figure that was the time that he ascended back to the Father. I don't know. But they saw him anyway. But the fourth thing that I jotted down, and I've got so much, I read to you a while ago some of the things that I really wanted to bring out. He proved to them by infallible proof that he was alive by exercising his authority over nature. Now we know that he'd walked on the water. We know that he'd raised the dead. We know that he'd opened blinded eyes. We know he'd made the deaf to speak and the dumb to hear. We know all of these things because he sent John back the word. He said, go back and tell John these things have happened. If I'm the Christ, these are things that have happened. Go back and tell him that they're here. And the gospel is being preached to the poor. Aren't you thankful for that today? That the gospel will come to you and I. But in St. John, the 21st chapter, verse 4 through 6, let's read together. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew him not that it was Jesus. In the preceding verses, I should have went ahead and read them. But Peter got together with some of the disciples. He said, I'm just going to go fishing. Jesus is dead. And I haven't seen him down for a few days. Some of the other disciples said, well, we'll just go with you. So they got in the boat and they pushed off. They headed out to fish. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Now I was praying, reading that scripture. And you know I was just an old farm boy. And we used to have to run the hogs and the cows and the chickens and all that in to get them in a pen. And I don't know why, it just come to my mind, and I could just see Jesus sending the Holy Spirit out there to just go and sort of shoo them fish into that net. Hallelujah. He had the power. He's the Son of God, and he commanded them to cast a net on the right. I've heard someone preach on putting the net on the right side of the ship. They could have put it on the left side, and Jesus would have still put the fish in it. Because he has power. He proved himself with infallible proof that he was alive by those fish being put in the net. They were 153, and the net did not break because Jesus Christ had commanded it to be that way, that he might show those disciples that he was and is alive. Hallelujah. This may not do much for you, but I'm going to tell you what. I preached this sermon to my wife off and on this week as we rode down the road, going to make it hot, called and everything, and I preached it to myself. And I've shouted glory the whole week because I want to tell you there's nothing more dear to me today than Jesus Christ living within my life and being the possessor of everything that I have, everything I am, and everything I hope to be is in Jesus Christ because he's alive. He's alive today. And he showed himself alive unto them. He's alive to the church today. I believe when we was at Bellevue meeting on Sunday afternoon, I illustrated this or gave the illustration to show you now that Jesus Christ is still alive today in the church. We were building a new church back when I was able to build. Back a number of years ago in Panama City at Callaway Assembly. And the former pastor that had pastored there before, we had invited him to come down for the groundbreaking service and to preach that Sunday morning. And so we had everything set for a big day that day. And old brother O.B. Harris came, and he came into the service that day, and I want you to know some of the darkest clouds were coming in off of that gulf, just boiling. And somebody said, Brother Fowler, we're not going to get to have the groundbreaking today because it's going to rain. We're not going to get out to go out there and have this groundbreaking. Old Brother Harris, some of you may know him, but he walked out to that door and he said, Father, in the name of your Son, we push back these clouds in the name of Jesus. You say, Brother Fowler, what happened? Nothing happened. We went out and had the groundbreaking. We ate dinner, and as soon as we clothed, it come a thunderburst. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is alive today. He wants to be alive in our lives today. He still wants to perform miracles. Somebody said, I'm concerned because we're not seeing the miracles today. It's because our faith is not activated that he's alive. And if he's alive today, he will prove himself true to this church by moving with infallible things in this church today that nobody can say he didn't do it. He'll set you free completely by the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, everybody didn't get healed at Callaway Assembly. We had a number of people that were healed. During the 5 years we were there, we saw over 500 souls, and that's what's important. Over 500 individuals walked the aisles and gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ because that's what's important today. Jesus is proving himself alive today by saving individuals that will let him save them. We had people delivered by the power of God from demonic forces. God set them free, and God doing the same thing here as we let him. He wants to prove himself today to you and I that he's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. He proved himself alive by sending you and I the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You say, well, I figured you was going to get on that. Yes, I am. I'm going to stay on it. Because I believe as anything that we need today is a move of God with the power of God in our lives. And I re-emphasize today, I'm not talking about the emotions. Somebody said, Brother Fowler, I saw a preacher walk the back of the pews. I've never done that. I've never seen that. Not asking to. I just want God to give me power in my life to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. That's all right if you want to run the back of the pew. Be sure don't run these, though. They're not buckled down real good. But God wants to manifest himself in the world today that they can know that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. The world today recognizes this is Easter season. But do they really know that Jesus Christ is alive? In the book of St. John, go with me if you will, the book of St. John, I'll turn right by. The 14th chapter. Notice what Jesus said here before he went away. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Holy Ghost. I know he's alive today without a doubt because he made it back to the Father. And he prayed the Father, send Avon Fowler, the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost fell one night at Pace Assembly, back about the third pew from the back, as I got out along right by myself. And I said, Lord, I've got to have something that I don't have. I've got to have the move of God. And I want you to know the Holy Ghost come down and the Shekinah glory visited me there between those pews. And I come up there with the power of God upon my life. And I want you to know I don't plan to ever live another day without the hand of God being upon my life and guiding me, because I cannot make it without him holding my hand. I can't make it. I can't make it. Read with me verse number 7 of chapter number 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's come. The Holy Ghost has proven that Jesus Christ has made it back to the Father by coming and pouring out. On the day of Pentecost, Acts the 2nd chapter, you find that he moved in with cloven tongues like of the fire. The wind blowed, and I believe the wind is blowing again for Pentecost to come back again to people's lives that wanted to move in their lives. It's blowing again for you and I. Let me go on, if you will. Acts 19, you find when John's disciples came and John asked him, Paul asked them, said, under what baptism were you baptized? And they said, under John's baptism, I was baptized under repentance. We have a number of people today that have been saved, and there's not a doubt in my mind that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no reason why that you won't go to heaven unless there's something in your life that's keeping you from receiving the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not given to you to take you to heaven. The Holy Ghost is given to you to help you in this life. He's going to be in glory. But if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're a candidate for the glory world. But the Holy Ghost will make it much easier for you. Hallelujah. Go ahead. He's still pouring out his Holy Spirit. Let me go to one more point. I realize it's got to be 12 o'clock. That clock just takes its time sometimes. And sometimes it rushes. But I want to tell you, Jesus, if I don't get anything else across to you today, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Go with me if you will. I'm coming to a closer. Really. Hallelujah. Yea, I say unto thee, as my word declared, that I would rise again on the third day. I say he is alive today. forever and forever. Know him by his power and his grace, for he lives to rule and to reign in your life today, if only you will let him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got to permit Christ today to live in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the book of Thessalonians, he's going to show himself alive, infallible at the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is going to take place, and you and I can be part of it. Brother Glenn touched on it this morning. That body is going to come out of the ground. I've got a lot of loved ones that's already gone on to the glory world. I've got a lot of them that are waiting on the other side for the saints of God to come. But Paul said here, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds together to be with them, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort them with these words. What words? That he gonna come again. Without a doubt, he's going to come again, because he came into this world and he went to a cross and he went into the ground only for 3 days, and he came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's alive today. You can search this book. The four Gospels and the book throughout the New Testament records of his death and his resurrection. And he showed himself for 40 days at different intervals. He would meet with different ones. Different intervals he'd meet with the disciples. Different intervals he would meet with others. But he showed himself for 40 days that he was alive. Don't let no one tell you that you are worshiping a myth today. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And he proved it with many infallible proofs that he was alive. I could stand here the rest of the day, and I could not complete everything just within my heart that shows that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord, that moves upon this congregation. Lord, you died on the cross for everyone's sins, that whosoever believeth in you should not perish, but have everlasting life. You shed your life's blood as it dripped out upon Mother Earth, that there would be a fountain that man could go to. Now, Father, I ask the Holy Spirit today, that person here, Lord, that does not know you, that person here, Lord, that has drawn back, help them to, Lord, know that you rose again as we celebrate today, Easter season, for our justification. Lord, we'd never be justified if you had not come out of the ground. But you came out of the ground. And Lord, the whole world has to stop today. Whether they are Christians or whatever, God, they have to stop and realize that this is the season that we celebrate your resurrection. And Lord, you showed yourself with infallible proof that man could not question that you were alive. You are alive. And Lord, I pray now in the name of Jesus, let the Holy Ghost walk into this building with the power of God to convict hearts and lives. I'm going to give just a very short altar call, because time is fast fleeting by. But I wonder if there's